We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back, and we are recording this on October 30th, 8:30 p.m. at night Central, and we have one fun episode ahead of us here where we'll be previewing the Lions traveling to Lambeau Field this weekend. A big game for the lead in the NFC North and a big control of the NFC North. But before we get into all of that, we have to introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So we got UJ.
Greetings, Lions fans.
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And Bob.
Hello there.
And our producer, Kid J, is off to the side. He might chime in every once in a while. But as I mentioned, this upcoming week, the Lions have a big game on the road in Lambeau. They get Lambeau early in the year, so they kind of avoid the bitter cold of it all. But they are 3.5-point favorites. Over-under is 48.5. This is a 325 kickoff game, a 325 Central, 425 Eastern. And Tom Brady is announcing this game, so another one of America's games of the week. It should be a good one. And no better way to start talking about this game than having our Lions Den segment. So we have one brave soul that has willed or has somehow found the willpower to step into the Lions Den. And this week, that is our guest, Zach. Zach, welcome to the podcast. You are now entering the Lions Den.
Welcome, Zach. Welcome.
Upset.
Hey, Zach.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Zach, so I'm a fellow Zach as well, but even before I get into this, there's already something a little off about you because you spell your name Zach with a K. I have some questions about you already before even the fact that you're a Packers fan.
They call that a red flag.
Zach, I gotta ask you, I always lead it off, why the hell are you a Packers fan? Because it doesn't make any sense to anyone on our side of the tape here.
Yeah, no, so, you know, I was born in NFC North country, so I knew that I had to be a fan of somebody from the North, and so at an early age, I had a choice, so I made the, I looked at the four teams I had, and, you know, I looked at the Bears, and all they do is, they just look back at 1985 and they're still living there. So I didn't want to be part of that.
Okay.
Then there's the Vikings. They just decided to edge themselves all through the 70s of getting there, but never fully finishing. Right. And then you got the Lions who just, you know, all you guys did was produce really, really good players that just wanted to retire early because they just couldn't stand it anymore. Uh-huh. So the last team standing was the Packers, and, you know, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks later, and what looks like a third, I feel like I came out on the winning side.
Oh, so. Whoa, a third. Oh,
at what age, I don't know about that.
Wow. At what age did you make this decision? I mean, people don't usually make conscious decisions like that, you know, to pick a team, and they, like, go through a selection process. They're usually born that way, or their father was, or something. You actually, how old were you when you came up with this methodical way of it?
And were you living under power lines at the time?
Yeah, well, I mean, I basically live under power lines now, so it kind of just has all stayed the same. But one of my, you know, what year was it? I'm gonna look at somebody else here. What year was it? Because one of the earliest memories I had was Favre's big throw to what was it? Sterling Sharp, one of the Sharp brothers to beat the Lions in the playoffs. What year was that? Was that 92, 93?
Oh, trying to wipe that.
You're asking the wrong crowd here, pal.
How dare you?
1994, January 8th, 1994. Sterling Sharp, a game-winning touchdown pass in the wild card game to beat the Lions.
No, but I do remember that. I was born in 1989, so it is one of my earliest memories. My dad's I'm from Rockford, which is northern Illinois. My mom's a Bears fan. Dad's a Packers fan. As a little kid, wanted to be like Dad, and thank God, because I mean, the alternative would have been
spurious of pain. Huh?
Yeah,
yeah. You got a good argument.
You were given two brutal choices, so it sounds
Yeah.
Really, you know, a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of heartache, that's for sure.
But. Hold on, we have to go back to the one comment though, because it was outlandish, kind of ridiculous. Jordan Love being a future third possible Hall of Famer. Where is that
coming? Based on what?
Do you actually believe that in your heart of hearts, or are you just throwing it around?
You know, definitely just throwing it around. But, you know, he's. I put it this way. I'm very happy with him so far. I am. Hall of Famer, I think that's pushing it. He's got to stay on the field before he can do anything else. But I do kind of like that he, you know, he's got that he's got a little bit of Rodgers and Favre in him. Favre was a little too crazy, with the interceptions, and Rodgers just is too much of a. Can I swear on this thing? Do we swear on here?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
especially about Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead.
He Rodgers is just too much of a pussy to do anything.
Nice.
I mean, he, you know, his conservative play.
Are you sure you're a Packers fan? I like this guy.
Yeah, you know, his conservative play just I feel like screwed the Packers out of a lot of wins that they could have had. So I do kind of like that Love has, in his very, very small sample size, shown that he's a little bit of both, but, I also don't agree with giving somebody a contract that size for playing in 8 good games, but people are definitely
dubbing him. He's getting a lot of props for the little bit of flashes he shows. I mean, like, whatever, he's getting like the whole, shebang. Anyone who can run these days a little bit and throw the ball decent gets like, everyone just assumes they're the greatest thing.
Yeah. I like because he'll throw to both teams too, which is nice. You know,
yeah, he shares the love.
The Lions can get a few too from him.
What is he like? Is he currently leading the league in interceptions and also missing?
That's Favre like
Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, and Jordan Love all tied with 9 interceptions to lead the league. Which is an interesting list. It's an interesting.
I think that's the total number of Jared Goff's incompletions.
Yeah, no, that's like 3 weeks. Yeah. Goff is 4 most, and all those came the first 3 weeks of the season. He has thrown since, but the thing with Love is his footwork's kind of all over the place. He's not very consistent in that regard, Zag. At least that's what I've read as far as his criticisms go. Like he'll backpedal and throw things off the back foot a lot. It's just kind of all over the place. So it kind of goes with the wild card nature of him, which I don't think we saw like the second half of last year when he was playing really good. We seem to be seeing it more this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes he makes things look a lot harder than they need to. That's for sure. He doesn't look real comfortable in the pocket sometimes, but you know, I don't know. Like when you look at the Packers season so far in the Lions, do you think that you would be undefeated if Malik Willis was your quarterback?
No.
Ours? I believe in our coaching staff to get us there.
Well,
so I do believe that we would have won every game
with
Malik
Willis
as our quarterback. Okay. I just think our offensive staff adapts to the talent that we are.
And we were adapting to Hutch just fine. So
I don't know if I'm going down that road quite.
Well, Zach with the K, I have a question on that subject. with the fact that Malik Willis has done so well, is that Matt LaFleur just have a great system that anyone can play that thing? Is Jordan Love great or is the system great?
I have a huge man crush on Matt LaFleur. I do think that it's been cool to watch. I do think it's a bit of a system. I do think Jordan Love's really good. It's definitely a bit of a system. It's fun watching him call plays for Malik Willis. I feel like he dials up some pretty creative things. You can tell he's from kind of that Shanahan and McVay system. It's going a little bit off on a tangent here, but it goes to show because the offense the last 2 years has looked so different than when Rodgers was here in Green Bay. And you can tell that like LaFleur was trying to run something when Rodgers was here, and Rodgers would just, I mean, straight up get the play, go into the huddle, say, you know, screw that. We're not going to run that and do something completely different. So it has been cool to see that it is a really good system. I would consider him the better version of Brock Purdy. right? But like, I mean, there is a bit of a system there in place. I do think that LaFleur is showing how good of a coach that he is for sure.
Hey, Zach, how many weeks can you like project before you're telling us Malik Willis will be a Hall of Famer? I'm just curious. You know, I'm gonna look forward to it.
I mean, you got to think that if he comes in relief and goes from 3-0 to 6-0, I mean, there's got to be some sort of Hall of Fame projection in place for that, right?
So you're today is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It is impressive what they've done with him, considering his time with the Titans.
I mean, you guys are kind of spoiled by quarterbacks. I'll give you that. But, like, man.
I mean, it is very likely we see him in this game because Jordan Love looked really hobbled in that last game against the Jags, and then he has not practiced this week. It might be a game-time decision type thing, but it would not surprise me if they saw Malik Willis in there. I think you'd rather have Malik Willis in there than a hobbled Jordan Love, from at least the hobbled Jordan Love that we saw in the Jaguars game last week. But let's shift this conversation over to the rest of this Packers team a little bit. They do have some injuries this week. Evan Williams has a hamstring injury. I'm not sure if you've heard, Zach, if he'll be playing. But this is their injury list right now. Josh Jacobs did not practice with an ankle. Rashid Walker out with a knee. Elton Jenkins out with a gluteus maximus injury. Josh Myers, a wrist injury. Jair Alexander, knee. They got a laundry list on the defensive side. Or on their team as a whole, really, injury-wise. I'm not sure. Are you aware of any of those guys that I mentioned just now? Are they going to be playing, or a lot of them out?
I don't, obviously I don't know for sure. I won't speculate on that too much, but I do know that that is a very Packers thing to, on Wednesday, have most of their team hanging out in shorts and a t-shirt. So I would expect that most of that list plays. I haven't seen anything too serious enough to say that they'll be scratched on Sunday.
Fair enough. What do you think of the defensive scheme against this Lions offense? This Lions offense is averaging 40 points. They've actually scored, they're averaging more than 40 points in the last four games. They scored 172 in the last four games. What is this Packers defense going to do to slow us down?
If the defensive line doesn't come to play, it's going to be a problem for sure. Got to get some pressure in. I think that is going to end up being the X factor of it. Linebacker's been playing a little bit better, right? So, you know, Quay Walker, he's been playing a lot better. What's his name? Why can't I think of his name right now? He got, NFC player, defensive player of the week, right? Wilson. He's been playing better. I'm not worried about Jair, right? But when you look at the other side of the ball, who's ever covering the second is going to be the one that we're going to have to worry about. So, but I think at the end of the day, if we can't get pressure on Goff, there's going to be a problem.
That's all right. If you get pressure, we'll just run it down your throat.
Yeah. How do you think Quay Walker is going to go after the medical staff again, like he did before?
Yeah, you got to respect the guy having a little bit of anger inside of him, you know?
We tend to trigger him, so I expect something will happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, UJ.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask if there's anybody on the defense that surprised you this year that you necessarily weren't expecting much out of that's produced someone to keep an eye on that we haven't. There's obviously Xavier McKinney, who we could talk about for a long time if we want. He's leading the NFL in interceptions. You have the two top leaders in interceptions, Kirby Joseph and Xavier McKinney, going off in this game. But is there someone else on the defense that maybe we haven't mentioned that has stood out to you?
I mean, no, McKinney has been obviously playing out of his mind. I mean, Nixon's done more than just return kicks this year, which has been kind of nice. That's not going to be somebody who I'm overly impressed by. But it's been nice to see that he's been able to contribute a little bit more. It just comes down to, I mean, they kind of have the rotating cast, a defensive line that's going to be good. I'm an Iowa guy, so I'd love to see Van Ness pick up a sack or two.
Yeah.
He's been playing well when he comes in. I'd like to see somebody like Van Ness make a play in this game. But again, I think it comes down to controlling the line of scrimmage there, especially since you guys are playing patty cake there in the backfield of not being able to choose. It is a 50-50 split, almost exactly, of sharing the ball back there between the two running backs. So
At
some point, that marriage is going to be – somebody's going to need to be an alpha, right? Do you guys see that there's going to be a problem here moving forward?
No. What? It's not competitive like that.
The opposite of a problem.
They're both going to run it for 1,000 yards, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you're an Iowa guy. You're gonna see
they're Sonic and Knuckles, baby. You don't mess with that duo right there.
Yeah, you're an Iowa guy. You're gonna see Jack Campbell and Sam Laporta go at it. You might really enjoy the show.
Jack Campbell is that dude's a man. He knows what he's doing. It's been cool to see him. And obviously Laporta, I mean, tight end, you right? We knew that was gonna happen, but right. Yeah, been cool to see.
All right, UJ, you had a question.
Yeah. You know, in this divided politic world that we live in right now, you know, I heard that Putin is a huge Packer fan, and the Packers are not like a capitalist team. They're actually like a collective, you know, which is a very communist thing. How does it, I mean, do you feel guilty rooting for a communist team? I mean, seriously.
No, I mean, the short answer is no. I, the parallel kind of funny when you think about it like that. No. I think, you know what? I think at the end of the day, it's been really, it's from our perspective as kind of the big brother of the division. It's been cute to see what the Lions have been doing. It's always a good sign
Who's got the NFC North title?
Two things, right? I mean, you always know it's a good sign when you can tap your little brother in the head and say, nice job. You guys have been doing. When you ask people around the league, it's, I'm rooting for those Lions. It's about time, right? You know, I mean, that's a good thing, too. I'm happy for you guys. Wow. And you also know, like, wow. I mean, when you think about the goals of teams when they start the season. I mean, you got like Lovie Smith back with the Bears who like, he was like, my number one goal is beat the Packers. It's like, you know, I mean, what are we doing here? We got,
Campbell didn't mention you guys.
Lions is Super Bowl. So that doesn't,
No, of course. But you know, then we got,
does it suck to know you're going to have to lose not only this week, but next week because you play the Lions this week?
No, uh-huh. I mean, I do. I did see that stat, which is a crazy thing.
Best edge in sports, baby.
But, but no, you know, I think that seeing Dan Campbell and how excited he is just after a regular season win, I think, you know, the just goes to show this how far you guys have come, and I think it's really cool. God.
I thought I liked him, but I don't like him.
Every team is excited when they win in the NFL, so that's just ludicrous. But. let's put this over to the other side really quick. Offensively, I think that the Lions are going to be aggressive, especially if Malik Willis is in there. If Malik Willis is in there, I think the Lions are less aggressive on the blitz. I think they want to let him sit in the pocket and throw. Malik Willis actually is pretty good against the blitz of the Titans early on in the season.
Kirby and Branch need to eat.
But I think making him think, making him read, I think that will go our way. I do think Malik Willis is going to get it at some point in this game. It just doesn't seem like Love is trending in the right direction. I think the Lions sit back. I think Kirby Joseph floats around the field and gets a pick or two off Malik Willis in this game. But, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, Zach, about the way this Packers offense is going to attack the Lions. The Lions are top five in the NFL in rush defense as well, I should mention.
I think that if Malik plays, you're just going to see a lot of pre-snap motion. That's the biggest thing, right? So you see that that offense really do a lot of misdirection, then fake going the other way, and then go back to the way that the misdirection was. So, again, I think that if Malik is in, it's going to be a lot more quick plays rather than what you're saying, letting him, sit back there and read. So that's at least what has worked in the games that he has started. So we'll see if they continue that game plan.
All right. Red Dog, I think you have one more question before we wrap it up here.
I do have a question. All right, Zach. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a time traveler goes back in time and steps on a butterfly, and it causes a weird little shift that makes you a Bears fan for your whole life, or 10 being your brain literally turns to cheese. Now you are just made of cheese. How scared are you of the Lions this week?
Uh, um, I don't want to be a Bears fan. This is an interesting way to ask this question. Look, it's going to be a good game, but I will.
Just a number.
Back.
We need a number here.
Oh, this is right. I got lost in the butterfly and the cheese. Yeah. You know, I'm going to say a 3.325.
Oh, that's appropriately afraid. That's appropriately afraid. Yeah, that's good. Good.
Wait, hang on. So wait, was one mean really scared? I was thinking 10 was really.
We
scared.
Got your answer here, man. You're terrified, and it's
you interpret how you want, Zach. You interpret how you want.
If you can figure it out, this scale
you're
out,
Zach, explain
a Bears
it
to
fan
me
already.
All right. So before we wrap it up here, Zach, what is your prediction for this game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 31-28 Packers win. That's three in a row. Packers have found a kicker where the kicker makes a game-winning field goal. 31-28, book it. You will see a bunch of very drunk, just at dusk, Lambo, which is just heaven on earth. You will see a bunch of those fans very happy at about 6:45 p.m. Central Time. After that ball goes through the field goal, 31-28 Packers, book it.
You know, Zach, it's good to know. Like, you're delusional, clearly, but like you also like at least you're betting for your team. These ones that bet against them just freak me out. So good on you, buddy.
Yeah, we had a Vikings fan last week. Actually, the score was pretty close. Or 2 weeks ago, that the score was actually pretty close on prediction, and he predict the Lions win. So
yeah, that's just but yeah. Out. I mean, I don't get that.
But yeah, you're clearly. You're not feeling well or something, because that was just a ridiculous prediction that, I mean, it's just not going to come true. So, but
the men in the white coats are coming to your door right now.
Are we going to go around? You guys
well, you know, it's good that you have the hope. It's good that you have the hope. It's
yeah.
To throw it back at you, it's cute. Hope you know, it's
they'll
cute
let you keep the cheese head in the straitjacket, I hear.
All right. Well, Zach, I think we're just going to barely let you escape with your life out of the den here. You know, we're being nice today. We're being really nice. So
feeling generous.
I hope you're appreciative.
He put up a fight, dog.
Oh wait. Hold on.
I don't know how a Packer puts up a fight.
Is there one, or do we know that? Like, Zach, do you know the Packers fight song? Is there one?
I mean, you know, bang on the drum all day is the only thing that matters to me.
Let's hear it. Can you sing it?
I don't want to work. I want to bang on the drum all day. Let's go.
Nice. There you go. All right. Respect there.
The Packers like co-op that song.
They do. Yeah, they have for sure. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Good luck this week.
Thanks, Zach.
We'll talk to you.
All right, man.
Bye. Good luck.
All right, well, there you have it, Zach. Thank you for entering the lion's den.
That guy was kooky.
Escapes with his life. Yeah, they're all delusional. They're all delusional. Crazy. But, you know, we find the most normal delusional people on the street.
They give you that, like, all child, like, vibe, you know?
What vibe?
What? You know, like, all child. You know, the craziest stuff comes out of their mouth, and you're just like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, anyways.
Got some... Not much going on up there.
So the Lions, their injury report, Jared Goff is dealing with an ankle injury. He did not practice today, which is rare for him. Taylor Decker didn't practice with a chest injury. Josh Pascal still dealing with an illness. It might be, I don't know what he's got.
They said it was related to the cancer or something that he fought off before, I think.
Oh, really?
But he was expected to be back this week. That was the weird thing about it.
Yeah, they.
And then there, of course, is the Rodrigo injury, which he will probably be out a week or two. But he probably will not be playing this week, which is a big bummer when going up against the Packers.
Big bummer.
If you get... anyways.
He's playing good football. It sucks.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Pascal had an issue flag during one of his annual cancer screenings. And the cancer is not returned. He does have a few things to complete before he's ready to return to the field. So
I'm assuming they're just figuring he doesn't need all the practice this week, and he's making it up with mental reps or something. I don't know. He's got to come back, right? If they said he was gonna, unless something bad. I don't want to think too much about it, but
yeah,
I hope he's back.
Yeah, I mean, hope everything's all right. So
hopefully,
obviously, his health is more important. But anyways, Broderick Martin returned back to practice today, so he's opened up his 21-day evaluation window.
Someone's getting healthy. Wait, does that mean if he's close to his return too, potentially?
If he? No, he's. I mean, he's not even eligible to week 9 to return.
Oh, God, that's right. God, that sucks. Actually, that could be like perfect. Keeping him in the reserve is could be like just what we need to get through the stretch of the home season or the home stretch of the season.
And I don't know if you caught it, but Chris Mahogany was added to the 53-man roster.
Ooh, saw that.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign for him. Good
news. Do you think he has any chance of challenging like Coyote or anything anytime soon?
Probably not.
I don't want to say he has no chance.
Good filling in emergency, it sounds like. I mean, he probably won't be active unless there's injuries. So,
yeah,
active
he'll
on
be
the game day,
just...
rather, I should say. It is still kind of crazy they don't activate everybody. That's been a big complaint, like amongst coaches in the NFL, that they have to like deactivate 7 players every week.
It makes no sense to me.
That is goofy.
Makes no sense to me.
It's very strange.
53-man roster. Just let them all sit out. Yeah. What's the difference?
I imagine that being amended within a few years, if not next year. So
it's been going on for a long time. Why do you see that? You think
especially if
there was just more chatter about it that I've seen in recent talk than I've ever.
If
seen.
If they add another game too, you'll want more players.
Yes, that was the big thing, yes. I think that's maybe where I saw the talk as well.
If they had another game.
If they had the 18th game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, which, I think there's a lot of back and forth on that, although it does seem inevitable they add one more game to the schedule.
It does.
It just allows more international games. It allows more flexibility of scheduling, et cetera. There will be 2 bye weeks, so if that happens.
And more podcasts from us, so that's good for the fans.
For our money, for our checkbooks. Yeah, right. We'll get rich.
I don't know if my wife agrees with that, but, you know.
Nor mine, or anybody. Yeah,
eventually, every week of the year, there'll be 52 weeks of the football season.
Well, right now, we're currently living in an environment where we're in the midst of 55 straight days of football.
Oh, my God.
Like, either whether it's a college, because college football is on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and now, like, it's the Sun Belt and things
filling in
the
gaps.
Smaller,
that's insane.
The smaller schools like Kennesaw State, playing on a Tuesday night. What's better than that? I don't think anything.
Gotta keep them gamblers betting, baby.
But anyways, we're in the midst, and that streak ends the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Before then, it goes off the rails with football after Black Wednesday. Anyways, I digress. All right, let's get into our prediction segment, shall we, gentlemen? So our first one is our roar of the week. And that, of course, is the player, not necessarily the best stats, but just the biggest overall impact on the game. And there is, last week we had a lot of candidates, but Khalif Raymond probably is the winner of that one. Or Dave Phipp.
Absolutely.
You can give it to him, too, possibly. Anyways, the coaches qualify for this too, and producer Good Jay, we're gonna throw you in on these 2 prediction segments as well. So I'm gonna throw this over to Bob first, though. What is your roar of the week?
My roar of the week. Well, we saw a little bit of him. He was my roar of the week last week, and he did pretty well, but didn't quite get the roar honors. I think Sam Laporta is gonna continue to get more and more reps, more catches rather. As the season goes on, after he's off that dodgy ankle at the beginning of the season, but now he's running pretty well. So I think he's going to get at least 100 yards and a touchdown for this game. So Sam Laporta, tight end, my roar of the week.
Nice.
Nice.
Did you do a double roar of the week?
Yeah.
What?
You did back-to-backers? Laporta 2 weeks in a row?
Yep.
A double roar of the week. Yeah.
Yes, it's an echo.
All right, Red Dog, what's yours? What's your roar of the week?
I think the ascension will continue, and Jahmyr Gibbs is going to build upon the weeks he's stringing together here. I think he's gonna hit another home run type 70-yarder maybe, and get another touchdown or two, maybe one through the air. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is finally hitting his stride this season. And all defenses beware, because this man is electric. He's deadly. And I think he's about to just keep going off. So with 3 touchdowns, 2 rushing, 1 receiving, Jahmyr Gibbs is my roar of the week.
All right.
All right. There you go. Jahbir, right. Gibbs. We have Laporta and Gibbs. UJ.
All right. As usual, this is such a hard thing to pick week to week because we have so many people that could be your roar of the week. I was going to go with Gibbs initially. I do think he's going to have a great game. But I think that we will stifle the Packers' run game, which means they will be passing like crazy. So this leads to my roar of the week, Kirby Joseph, who is going to have two picks in this game and a forced fumble. He is going to go wild in this game. And I think the whole defense will have a pretty good game, but I think Kirby's just going to light it up in this one with two picks and a forced fumble. Kirby Joseph is going to be my roar.
All right. There you go. We like it. We like it. All right, producer Kid Jay.
My roar of the week is going to be I'm going to say Carlton Davis. I think he's going to lock down on one of these Packers receivers, either Jalen Reed or Romeo Dubs, and kind of slow down the Packers' pass game a little bit. So Carlton Davis is my roar of the week.
Nice. All right.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to stick with the ground game here. I don't know if you guys are aware, but the weather outlook for this game, it's a little ugly. It's going to be 16-mile-per-hour winds, 81% chance of rain.
Whoa, let's go.
A high of 56, so it won't be a cold rain, but either way. So that's why I'm leaning towards my roar of the week being involved with the run game in this one. And I got to go with Monty. David Montgomery, you want Gibbs right now? That's fine. I think this is just a little with the weather. I think this is that suits Monty's game extremely well. Just kind of the grounded pound.
I think it suits both of them just fine.
Just falling forward. Yeah, I know. But I do think Monty just gets a few more carries. He's going to get another touchdown like he routinely does. Of course, the one time I bet on him get a touchdown, he didn't score.
Oh, you need to stop doing that.
No. I was like, yeah, no, that's what I'm just not going to. It's bad luck. But
so he's a mutter. He can run in the rain pretty well. You know, like a horse, a mutter.
Yeah, a tough mutter. All right, so I think Monty ends with 103 yards and two touchdowns in this game.
Nice.
And he is my roar. Of the week.
Yeah.
Love all right. Horse. So now it is
162 yards. On the ground and 52 through the air for Gibbs. Put that out there for his touchdowns.
200 all-purpose yards. All right.
Yeah.
But now, gentlemen, it's time,
baby,
for the main event. It's our predictions. I was running out of air there. but anyways, as I mentioned at the open, the Lions come into this game as 3.5-point favorites on the road. Ooh. The over-under is 48.5, money line minus 170. We will go around the horn and give our predictions. And maybe just your little extra thoughts on the game if you didn't get them in during the Lions End segment. We'll start with UJ.
All right. Well, I think the Packers are outperforming people's expectations this year so far. They've been playing pretty well. Jordan Love is playing pretty well. Malik Willis is filled in pretty well. This team is playing pretty well. However, the Lions are really playing well. I mean, great. This Lions team rises to every occasion, and this is going to be a tough occasion for them. The Packers will give them a fight. They will. It's at home at Lambeau, so they are going to put up a fight. But this Lions team is too good. We are too good. And I think what's going to mainly destroy them is our run game and our defense. I mean, I think we're going to stifle their offense a bit, and they're going to frustrate them. They're going to probably be getting a lot more field goals and touchdowns. So I'm thinking I think they'll score a total of 16 points against us, mostly on field goals. And the Lions are going to score 35.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to do it in just brilliant fashion. I don't think Goff will have to carry the game, but he will be effective as he always is. And our run game is going to dominate, probably 200 plus yards on the ground between our two backs. I see the Lions win 35-16 in Lambeau in the weather. And I think hopefully we'll see a lot of blue out there like we did last year. And I think 30, 40,000 Lions fans out there dominating the scenery. I mean, you look up in the stands, you will see a lot of blue, baby. So 35-16, the Lions are going to win this game. That is my prediction.
All right. There you go. Red Dog.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
It's going to be tough to score 70 this week.
Division foes, always tough, you know, but I think the streak's going to continue, and we're going to break 50, gentlemen. I see 3 touchdowns from Gibbs, 2 from Monty. This week, Jared Goff's going to throw 5 passes, but all 5 are going to be touchdown passes with 0 incompletions and for like 300 yards. And so, wait, what is that? That's 4 touchdowns.
Carry the 1.
A whole fuck ton of points versus 0, because I think our defense is going to dominate in this game. And Jordan Love or Malik Willis or whoever it is going to be running for their lives and slopping in the mud all day as our D-line and linebackers crush him. So 72-0, Detroit in convincing fashion walks into Lambeau and just kills their hopes and dreams. Sets them up for, and I'm predicting next week they will also lose the Packers once more because they face the Lions this week. So it's a twofer bet right there. 72 to the zip, Detroit Lions, baby.
All right, there you go. A twofer bet. All right. Big twofer guy. All right, Bob.
All right. Yes, the hated Packers. Lambeau. Used to be a house of horrors for Lions fans who've been around for years, but not so much these days. We won like 5, I mean, not in Lambeau, but like 5 out of 6 against them. We're doing pretty well against the Packers these days. And
Thanksgiving, yes.
Yes. So I think the Lions are going to do very well. The Packers, they do have a good team. They're pretty balanced. They have a decent defense. But the Lions are playing on another level completely. So they're going to score some points. I see Jaden Reed getting some yards for them as a receiver. But basically, we're going to shut them down. They'll get some drives, but we'll not end in points. And the offense, you know how the Grinch's heart grew like 3 sizes for Christmas? I think it's going to be a rainy day, and Jared Goff's hands will grow 3 sizes. And he'll hang onto that ball really nice in the rain. And he'll be zipping it around the field pretty well. Laporte is going to be his favorite target this Sunday. He'll get like 8 or 9 receptions, 100 yards, touchdown. But it's going to be spread around, and the run game is going to be taken off. So I see us winning this thing 35-18, Lions. And there's going to be some dirtbag Packers fan who's going to throw a beer on one of our players. But but that won't matter.
Interesting.
Because we're going to have the
medical, will many medical staff be pushed over?
Yeah. Quay Walker will do something stupid, too. Whether it's
the concession stand forgot to take their cap, right?
So 35-18 is my prediction.
There we go. We love it. Beautiful. Bob, if you gave me 1,000 guesses, maybe 10,000 guesses, I would not have guessed. I would not have, if someone told me Bob's going to make a metaphor tonight, can you take a guess what it is? I would not have guessed that in 10,000 guesses. I love it.
All right.
All right. Kid J.
That's a good one.
My prediction is, you know, when the Packers and Lions play, you just got to throw out the record books. You know, they have too much history. So I think the Lions are the better team, and I think they're going to win 27-21. It's going to be a tight game.
Ooh.
Nail biter.
All right.
All right. Kid J. It's like we're twins because I almost have the same score as you. Almost. Almost. But we're not identical twins, so that's why we're close, but not all the way. So, as I mentioned, I think Monty gets a couple touchdowns. I do think Laporta gets one too, Bob, and I think Jake Bakes puts a couple tough kicks in the rain. I do think the Packers get a little bit of theirs as well. And I have this being 27-20, Lions on the road in Lambeau.
You guys just want to feed our anxiety addiction. That's all.
Exactly. I'm desperate. Desperate. Last week was like
too easy.
The worst. Right. Yeah. I don't like the easy ones. I like the tough ones. Oh,
yeah. One, yeah, two, three. Can we all pick five. The Lions to win?
Yeah.
Put the carry the 1. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we did.
5 for 5. We all predict Lions. All
right.
Victory. The only one I didn't was our guest, our delusional guest, Zach. Who Entered the Lion's Den. But
crazy,
you know,
people say crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, an interesting stat, though, I'm going to say, we've been doing this pod, what, 5 years now, something like that? I don't even know how long. It's been a long time. I think, if I'm not mistaken, our record of picking games exactly
Holy
matches
crap.
The Lions.
It does, except the preseason, UJ. You
I mean,
were
like,
against
exactly.
the Lions.
Yeah.
We don't count preseason. We do
I
not
like
count
that.
That
out to you. All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. A lively conversation, as always, tonight. But before we leave, we, of course, have to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid
J. Kid
J. He's the best.
If you've also gone on our YouTube page, there's some shorts on there, too, that he's been working on. So I greatly appreciate that, too, Kid J. Our YouTube page, at DTBK_Lions, or just drinking the blue Kool-Aid, see a lion next to a bowl of kneecaps. I send our guest, Zach, like the episode, one of our episodes. He's like, oh, I love the kneecaps by the lion. So it definitely sticks out. Instagram.
Every other fan secretly really wants to be a Lions fan, though.
Oh, absolutely. I think, yeah, most of America. They say Detroit Cowboys are America's team, but I don't know. I feel like Lions are in recent memory.
Yeah.
World's team.
Just got to reel off a few Super Bowls and everyone will love them.
That's it.
Well, then everybody will hate us.
Yeah.
Well, see, your dad had a
prediction,
actually. He said when the Lions win, you watch, they're going to come out of the woodwork, Lions fans out everywhere. And he's kind of right. I mean, every time they travel to another city, it seems like there's so many Lions fans out there. They're all, you know, they all can like.
The termites in my house are all wearing Lions jerseys. It's crazy.
Wow.
They're coming right out of the woodwork.
Crazy.
Wow.
That is crazy. As always, if you reach this point of the podcast, we greatly appreciate you.
On that note,
we want to thank our guest, Zach, as well, for entering the Lion's Den. Always greatly appreciate those that dare to come in and take it on the chin. So,
yeah.
All right.
We got the medicals on Zach. He's okay.
That's good to know. That's good to know. I was worried about it when he left.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I was worried. Now he has to lose his next podcast physically. Because he was on our podcast this week, so.
All right, so we're gonna wrap it up here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday with our reactions to the Lions' victory over the Packers, and we of course want to thank our listeners for listening to us every single week. So, last but not least, as always, go.
Charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.